bridge the URL to IRL gap.
Oh, the URL to IRL. That's such a good, I'm like imagining how many times you might have said that to somebody. It's perfect. Do you
feel the same? Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can meet New York City's kinda eligible. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. Stay tuned till the end of the episode if you're interested in matching with our guest.
Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can meet New York City is kind of eligible. All right. Welcome back to Drinks First. This is the first episode of season 3, and it has been a while since I've posted content, and I want to explain a little bit why before we get into our guest today. So a few months ago, when I was ramping up for what the season was going to be, and I was ready to launch it, you know, the end of summer, people were really having a good time in New York with Hot Girl Summer. I was like, no one's trying to get cuffed right now. I'm gonna do this like come fall. And that felt like a good timeline for me. I traveled a bit. I got COVID. I had an existential crisis while sitting in my childhood bedroom on lockdown, and decided that I was going to move to Barcelona. So I made that choice. And a few weeks later, I was on a plane with a suitcase with my best friend to Barcelona and ended up living there for 8 or 9 weeks, which was not even the intended amount of time, but that's what happens. And something about traveling and just being nomadic and free and living a different kind of life away from New York was an experience I think I needed to have for a while. And I had to disconnect from most things for me to be able to live that life fully. One of those things being the podcast. So I'm excited to be back. I'm back in New York for good. As many of you know, a lot of my, if you've been following the podcast for a while, my own personal dating life and life itself has, I've grown up in New York. It's been interesting for me because I lived at home for a long time. But now finally, for any of you longstanding fans, I am moving out. I'm moving to Greenwich Village and will be living on my own. So here is a new chapter of my life in 2022. So I'm excited to take you guys along on that journey. And it wouldn't be fair for me to have recorded all of these episodes months ago and not given my own guests the same chance and leeway to live their lives and then not be able to explain it when I release them. So as we all know, life changes, it happens, we all live it. And so I'm really excited for you guys to listen to today's episode because my guest is incredibly insightful and truly a great guy. I've never met him in person, so like I don't know how tall he is, but he seems really great, and I am excited for him to be on. So what we're gonna do today is talk a little bit about what has changed in the past few months before we get into the episode that we recorded a few months ago. So I want to let my listeners know that's what's happening, and that might be happening in future episodes that you listen to. There might be addendums, there might be changes, but I hope you bear with me and I hope it's interesting to you because, yeah, life changes. So welcome back.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you for taking the time to do this again.
Yeah, of course. So what's changed? Well, a few things have changed. I'm in LA right now. I haven't been in New York in about 2 months. So I did do inadvertently the snowboard thing, and like flew back to where I'm from. So, I'm enjoying being back in LA. I'm enjoying not, stepping out into freezing cold weather. And
weird flex, but okay.
And I'm enjoying, you know, kind of living a new life as someone who is a founder. So not only has location changed, but I am was recently unemployed, then now self-employed. So the last few months has been a transition from being based in a certain place to being sort of wherever I feel like being, and also doing exactly what I both like feel well equipped to do and like want to do. And so it's a good feeling. And it's a lot different from where I thought things would be, you know, a few months back. Happy to share more on all things location, job, life, love, whatever.
Yeah, well, congrats on being a founder. I guess we won't get too into it because I don't want it to reveal your identity, but so I'll just say a little bit about what I know, because it's definitely not going to be enough for anyone to find you, but it's in the Web3 space, and you are venture-backed, and it went live today. So congrats. Huge, huge news. We are not a crypto podcast. We will not be talking more about the ins and outs of your company, as interested as I am about it. But life and love are things that we do discuss on this podcast. So past 2 months you've been in LA. Where else have you been? What else? Where has life taken you location wise, and where has it taken you relationship wise?
Yeah. Location wise, I have the great pleasure and a little bit of shame, but mostly pleasure, of having visited and really loved Miami. Like, truly was not expecting that. That was the craziest, like, out of nowhere left field. Like, I had a chance to go to Miami on a all expenses paid trip, like stayed at La Faina, and had like a double suite, like the nicest hotel.
That is the nicest hotel in Miami. That is the most what did you go for Basel?
I did not. Okay. I was decidedly like too crypto. I don't want to do that. No. ironically, but this time around was for a conference that I was invited to, which has to remain confidential, unfortunately. But it was an incredible conference, and had a lot of fun, and really, really loved Miami. I loved how like Latin it was. I feel like intuitively I knew that, but I was like, oh my God, like people, regardless of what you look like, approach you and speak Spanish. And like, I've grown up my whole life not looking Latino, and no one really knowing that I was like half Mexican. And I don't want to say it was validating, but it did feel really like good. Like it felt like a hug. Like it felt like talking to my family, and it was just strangers, and people are so friendly and like vocal and like sing-songy, and like that specific like type of Latin culture, like a South American specific kind of culture, and like a Caribbean culture is just so, it's so like my personality. And I love Miami. I hope I spend more time there. And I probably will spend more time there this year.
So was it Miami? Well, one, anybody who's a historical listener to the podcast will know that I also had that same experience. I actually wasn't in a double suite at the Faena, but I was living like 4 blocks away from it. And I lived in Miami for what turned into 6 months last year. But was it Miami to LA, or was there anything in between?
Yeah, so I flew out to LA probably, well, no, that's not true. I flew out to Hawaii at the middle of December. And then from Hawaii, I flew to LA, stayed here in LA, and then did a quick like week-long conference jaunt over to Miami, flew back to LA, and I've been in LA since then. And I'll be here until the end of the week, and then flying back to New York, where I will unfortunately be snowed in again. So hate to see it, but it's time to go home.
Well, yeah, I think it's good to clarify that despite you being all over the country, you still have some base in New York. So that's the two criteria for this podcast is you must be single and you must have some base in New York. So just making sure that you still check that box. We've checked one. So now what about your relationships? Have you been so nomadic the past few months? How have you kind of, have you done relationship wise?
I've done well. In the sense that like I've given my heart to things that I wanted to give my heart to and people that I've wanted to, and worked through some sort of, you know, growing pains of dating someone new. And continuing to kind of work through growing pains of dating someone new. I've really enjoyed the last several months of like being nomadic, but as you point out, it's like being nomadic is not necessarily conducive to like being in a relationship. And so, you know, things are where they are. And I'm trying to live life in a way that feels honest. And I think that's like what I can say.
Okay. I will prod a little bit just because that was incredibly cryptic, which is like, like, and for my listeners, I'm not trying to like extract anything you don't want to say out of you, but are you saying that you were in a relationship in this time? You were not? What exactly are you saying here?
Yeah, I got into a relationship and then kind of went through the like motions of being in that relationship, things working out and then not working out, and being kind of at a place where some things are not working out and then some things are, and we're figuring it out. Because this person's also a friend. And so when I say we're working it out, really we're working it out as like people who want to be in each other's lives.
Yeah, general relationship things, just like,
yeah, as, that's what I mean.
Yeah, totally. So you are open to potentially something new coming into your life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always just like, as I mentioned, you know, in other conversations that I've had with like friends and other people, just like, I love meeting people, and I actually don't like to meet people first as like, do I see you as like a potential partner when I first meet you? Because I think that lens is so, you see what you want to see. And if that doesn't, you know, like materialize as like, oh, this is relationship material, then I think it's okay as long as you communicate that. And so I've like gone out on like one date with someone and it not be like a great vibe romantically, but I also went in with it being like, I'm just going to meet a person and this person will collide with me and that will be like inherently valuable. And totally. Hopefully we stay in each other's lives if it's supposed to be that way. And then if not, you know, it was great to know you for a night. So yeah, I'm always happy to meet people because I love talking to people. I'm not shy. So I'm always down to.
Yeah. So there we go. There's the second box in the criteria, which is you're open to potentially meeting somebody through this channel of communication. So with that, is there anything else you want to say about the past few months that, you know, you want our listeners to hear before they listen to your episode?
I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot of the bases, and you know, I'm just so happy to be at like a position that I'm at right now where, you know, I can live where I want and I can kind of do what I want, and it just feels very like resonant with the lifestyle that, you know, I've always wanted. So I'm happy to be back, but thank you for taking the time to connect again. This has been fun.
Yeah, for sure. So now we will cut somewhere into the episode that we recorded a few months ago, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So you said, I asked you like how things were going. You said like, oh, pretty free flowing. And I guess this is what you mean, right? Like you're just kind of like getting your ideas out there, quitting. When did you quit your job? You started, like, what's the timeline on this? Like how,
yeah.
Is it brand new?
I was visiting some friends who I know from like Twitter and the internet in Berlin. And the idea was like, I was going to just meet those people and like, okay, you know, IRL internet friend hang for a week and then, you know, party, see some, you know, just like meet friends and stuff. Then I was going to go to Nice to just like relax for a week. But basically by the end of my 2 weeks, I was like, I'm already in Europe and I'm kind of feeling like there is this now new feeling of I think energy and confidence to say like, I actually don't necessarily need money right now. And I feel pulled towards this idea that I have. Gratefully don't have to pay rent at my apartment. I like own this apartment. So it's nice to not necessarily need to, you know, worry about that expense. And so I was like, what the hell? I'm down to just be slightly broke for a bit and then try this out. And so I extended my stay and I was in Europe for 4 weeks total, visiting Lisbon for a week and then Madrid for a bit and then London. And I just got back to New York on Sunday. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind. Like I quit my job and gave like, unfortunately I gave like a week-ish notice, more like 5 days of notice. So that's not great. But my manager was really like understanding. And like, I think they were in a good shape. They're not missing me too much. So all's well, everything's fine. No fires that were not like immediately fixable.
I feel like even last time we chatted, I was like, man, I have so much in common with this kid. Like I also went to Europe for 2 weeks and I was in Italy and Greece. And at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, like I need to be here. Like I need to stay here. I have like everything is pulling me towards being here right now. And I had to, unfortunately, because of some family stuff, I had to come back. but I'm moving to Barcelona on Friday.
Let's go. I'm so pumped for you. That's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah. I mean, only for a month. Like I didn't go as extreme as to quit my job. I still have my day job beyond the podcast, obviously. But I am going to be working like New York hours from Spain for the next 4 weeks. And amazing. Who knows, maybe a little beyond. But I had that same, like, I don't know, 24-year-old crisis where you're like in Europe and you're like, holy shit, like my life can be different right now. But I like totally know what you're talking about because I am going through the same thing right now.
Amazing. Love this for us, honestly.
Love this for us. Love that you have internet friends also, like Twitter friends.
Oh yeah. My whole, and I kid you not, I'm not even exaggerating here. My entire network of friends in New York is all based on Twitter. The reason I got my job was on Twitter. The reason I even like got hype around Menagerie and am now getting like advisory work and freelance work is all through Twitter. Like Twitter is, I kid you not, just like a life-changing platform for me in almost all aspects of life.
Why do you think that? How did you utilize Twitter to like do that?
Yeah. I think, so I'll answer this two ways. I think first it was just like genuine, like I want to talk about these things and I hope that by posting people are willing to engage in these in like a public kind of mindshare forum, right? Where we can just like riff on stuff like yes and whatever. So it was very like, just, I wanted to talk to people online about music and, you know, technology and like ways that we might make better worlds with those, you know, art generally, and then technology and on the other hand. And then thinking about it, as I started growing a bit of a following and like people who were engaged, I started thinking more like, I guess like metacognitively about like, why is it that worked? And I started realizing that there were like explicit interactions that I was using sort of inadvertently that were like yielding in effect what I call is like an interest graph that then is overlaid with a social graph. So what I mean by that is like on Facebook, for example, if I'm friends with your mom for whatever reason,
leave my mom out of it.
Well, I promise this is going somewhere. So if your mom and I are friends on Facebook, we're like first order connections, but I'm not friends with you for whatever reason on Facebook. And so, you know, your mom and you are presumably friends. And so you're a second order connection. And so that's a social graph, right? That's like connections on nodes. But the way that Twitter works is that the UI shows you based on who you follow, you know, the assumption being that you follow people whose interests you share. They show you people who engage with their tweets, and you may not follow that person. And so it's very like interest first and then social graph overlaid on top of that, whereby presumably if they're tweeting something of value to you, you would follow that person. And then if you think about that backwards, you say, hey, people who have like a huge following, if I like add value to something that they are tweeting about, I then become legible to their whole following group. And that's a way to, like, again, kind of engage in that like public mindshare that I was talking about. And the way that you take that the next step is, okay, cool, you've done that a few times, added value, people are following you, you're following them, you're engaging, whatever. The step that most people don't make is then saying, hey, I'm having these really like generative and like just value filled conversations. Maybe I should DM this person and be like, what's up, you know? And I'm not shy at all. So I'll DM people who I think I can have like good conversations with and not really expect anything out of return. Just like wanting to chat and doing that over and over again. I just ended up meeting some really amazing people in New York who have become, you know, some of my best friends in the city, but honestly, some of the closest friends that I've ever made. And I think it's because we had a strong like interest alignment and just like we're like this, you know, just on Twitter, and now bridge the URL to IRL gap. So it's a fun time, and I'm really blessed for
the
Twitter.
URL to IRL. That's such a good, I'm like imagining how many times you might have said that to somebody. It's perfect.
Yeah, that one was, I think, time number two. I got a similar response the first time I said that last week, and then now it's like, oof, that's a good soundbite.
That is such a good soundbite. Have you dated anyone because of Twitter?
So this is a tough one. I think anything with DMs is a dating app, but I'm sort of a perhaps controversial mindset that like I don't really slide into DMs. That's like not my vibe.
You just said that you slide into everyone's DMs.
In the sense that you're reading that expression, like sliding into DMs, like kind of, you know, I'm sliding into your DMs kind of expression, right? Like I don't slide into DMs romantically. I kind of slide into DMs to just like talk about stuff and assume that like it's platonic from the jump.
But you've never slid into somebody's DMs being like, I'm down to talk to this somebody because they are interesting to me, but you know what? Actually, they're kind of attractive.
Yeah, but I think that like on a separate but related note, like making friends with someone with then the ulterior motive that like I hope it changes, I feel a type of way about that. I feel like I've done the whole, you know, make friends with people and then like there's something there, and then now you've, you know, had either like a hookup or you've had like an encounter with a friend and now it's kind of weird. Like I feel like I learned early, and I'm grateful for making those I don't want to say mistakes, but just like making those decisions early on in life and being like, you know what? Not for me. So to answer your question, your original question directly, I have dated people that I've met originally on Twitter, or rather I've hooked up with people that I like originally met on Twitter, but I've not like made that a practice. I've usually just kept it like platonic, like let's be homies, you know?
So the people that you did end up hooking up with from Twitter, how did you bridge that URL to IRL gap?
Oh yeah. I think it was, I mean, it's like once you catch a vibe IRL, I mean, the vibe is caught. It may have started in the DMs, like, but I think that like, I think one of my skills that I'm proud of is I think I'm a good conversationalist IRL. And I think that like, I don't know, I am just like very open and people feel very comfortable usually like talking to me and like sharing themselves with me. And like, yeah, sometimes there's a vibe and both of us are feeling it. And so it turned into something else. And yeah, I think that like internet dating though, on a more like general kind of level, like, is something I have generally positive feelings about. I think that, like, you know, I understand, like, a lot of the fair criticisms of online dating, especially the apps. I think the apps just put aside people's humanity and in ways that I'm not, like, super endorsing of. But generally, like, online dating, I'm like a big fan of. Like, while myself, I'm not, like, one to slide into DMs explicitly, like, you know, what's good. I don't even know how to slide into DMs. How do you slide into someone's DMs in a romantic way? Like, I don't know how to do that. But
you literally just said it. You could just slide into someone's DMs and say what's good.
That's so interesting to me. I don't know. It feels weird to think that that's, like, ever gonna actually work. But I mean, like I said, I think that, like, internet dating is such a fun thing to observe and to also, like, be part of in my friends' lives. And, like, how my, like, a good example is my friend entered a long-term COVID relationship where they met on Discord for a online game that they both, like, were playing at, like, a competitive level. And one of my friends got addicted and she was like, I need to leave this Discord. It's like, wait, it's taking over too much of my life. And then one of her friends on Discord was like, wait, before you go, like, I need to give you my number. I think I'm in love with you. And then they dated. And I was like, that's insane.
What game was it? What game was it?
Like, dude, it was so deep of a cut that I don't even know the fucking name of the game.
I really wanted it to be like Among Us or something like that.
Oh, no. It was like a strategy game. Like, it was not, there was no romance there. I was like, the fact that you were able to do that purely based on, like, a video game online, I A, love, and B, do not understand, but C, still love. Like, it was amazing that happened. And there's, like, so many experiences like that I see.
Yeah, well, everything is a dating app, right? Like, you just said that. Anything with DMing capability is a dating app. But you don't even need that, right? Look at Clubhouse.
For sure.
There was no explicit DMing built into the app of Clubhouse, yet it became a platform for people to try and date. Because people are really horny.
Yeah.
And anything is a dating app at a certain degree. So are you telling me that you're not on apps or you are on apps?
So I am on apps, but I, again, perhaps controversially, I don't necessarily like people on apps. Like, and what I mean by that is, like, I use Hinge pretty much exclusively. And by use Hinge, I kind of am not an active participant in Hinge in the sense that, like, I go and like people on the feed. I sort of just wait for people to like me and then filter who I want to talk to or not. And, like, I understand not, like, the best way to do this, but I also, at this point in my life, I'm not, like, super prioritizing online dating. I had a few great experiences of people who I'm, like, close with, connect me with people that they thought I would jive with. And I just had such high quality, like, dates with those people that I was like, I kind of don't want to say settle for anything less, but, like, I don't want to spend time doing the online dating thing when these things have gone well. And, like, although they're few and far between, like, I'm happy to wait because it's not a huge priority for me to like fill my week with online dates.
You are a passive viewer on Hinge. You just wait for people to like you. I understand that. Look, like, I don't use Hinge I have it. I have every dating app. I don't use Hinge to the point where, like, I just keep getting notifications being like, if you don't use Hinge, we're hiding your profile. And I'm like, do it.
You're like, try me.
Fucking do it. Literally. Like, I'm not stopping you. Hide my profile. Right. Like, that makes it worse for you. But I obviously get the frustration for dating apps, and I feel like somebody like you also understands, coming from a tech perspective, that these products aren't necessarily built, and from a product management perspective specifically, they're not built for the user. They're built for the bottom line. It's not inherently, like, meant for people to really make long-lasting connections. If so, it would be a different product. And so it's just, like, it's not perfect, but I'm still the kind of person who, I'm all for it. I'm on every single dating app. I've met people off of dating apps who are great. I think it's a great way to meet people outside of your circle, which can be awesome.
For sure.
But obviously what you're saying, like meeting people through friends of yours, and I think more and more people kind of crave that right now, like the in-person connection. And I think at this age, like we're obviously not old, but we're not like super new or young to everything, that connection's really important to us right now. And meeting people through friends of friends is a great way to do it. I mean, that's why I started this podcast, right? It's like, oh, you have it's like a personal recommendation of somebody to the larger audience. That being said, if you are meeting people like through your friends, you're not really doing it through Hinge anymore or any other dating app. You're not doing it on Twitter. Like how have those, you said they're really high quality dates. Like how have you navigated those?
Yeah. So the two dates that I was set up on, they were like blind on one side. Like I didn't know anything about the people that I was going to meet up, but they knew everything about me.
Why? How did that
I think happen? It was an accident. I think it was like a like my friends got kind of overeager meeting this person and were like, oh my God, you need to meet my friend Sean. You guys are exactly the same, blah 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 blah. Here's everything about him, his Instagram, whatever. And that was not a privilege afforded to me before the date. And honestly, kind of a vibe. I like that. I think it was cool. I think the opposite end of the spectrum is sometimes worse, where you get way, way, way too much about a person. And then if they don't meet exactly what you kind of expect from the description of your friend, it kind of feels like a letdown. That said, I think that like, you know, I don't really subscribe to this idea that like dating in New York sucks. I think dating in New York is fun as hell. I love dating in New York. And I think so much of it is just like the attitude that you bring into the dates. And it's very obvious when someone like wants to have fun and wants to like connect. And when someone is just like, I feel obligated to do this. And like, I don't want to ever be that person. And I never want someone to feel that way in a date with me. So it was cool to like kind of come in and just be like, who are you? Like literally, I know nothing about you. Like, let's start from today and what you've been to like, you know, your background and who you are and the worldview that you have. And yeah, I feel like my secret sauce with dates is honestly, like I remember reading back in like college, in this like psychology of like sexuality or romance or some class like that, that, people really, really latch onto like spatial memories. And so like people really remember a room or remember a place or remember a street. And so if you create more like diverse and just like very lush spatial experiences for people, you can create like a closer connection or at least the space for that to develop. And so my plan going into most dates is if it's going well, try to move the date to another location nearby and like plan like two locations or a handful of locations so that there's like dynamism in the like location element of, you know, the date. And I think that, you know, it's great because you end up having like kind of longer dates. And I really like that space to get to know someone, especially when, you know, it's like a friend of a friend where I, like I said, don't know anything about them versus like just going to get drinks. Like, I think that's such a boring date. I'm not even going to front. I've done that before. But I think that like in those times when I like kind of, I don't want to say vet, but like already know that that person's going to be like really, really cool. We're going to resonate on some things. I'll try to like go the extra mile to be like, let's go have tea in Bowery. And then we'll walk down and, you know, go to the water. And then we'll go, you know, here and like grab some dumplings at the park and sit down and like watch the skaters. Like, I feel like that's the kind of date that I would want to be a part of is like the recipient. And I obviously want to have fun on dates. So yeah, I navigate them that way.
Damn. You basically said to every guy, I think, who's ever listened to this podcast, level it up right now.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, I think try harder, do better, you know? Like I think it's such an important thing to just like respect the people you go on dates with. And like, you should, I don't know. I'm like a very optimistic person. And I think like, if you bring that energy into an engagement, you're like always going to have a good time. And so I think that like, I'm very happy to say that like, I haven't had any like dates where even if there wasn't a vibe, like we didn't have some kind of relationship after. And I think that's intentional. And it's also the result of just like, I don't think I'm a sus person. I think I'm good at sussing people out. So if good people meet good people and there's not a romantic connection, at least that's like a friend. So I think I'm pretty good at like, this sounds weird.
So you're friends with everybody you've dated?
I actually am not. Like, I also think that some part of dating is like knowing when and how to let go of people. But like, what I really meant with that comment is more so like, I don't think I've had a bad date where someone like hates me after a date or like I hate them, you know? But yeah, definitely let people who you don't intend to, and it's not explicit that you just want to be friends. Like, don't drag people along. Like, that's not cool. So,
well, okay. I have two questions based off of the things you just said. One is something that I should have asked you at the beginning. It's something I ask everyone. Where do you like to go out and where do you like to eat? That doesn't have to be on a date. Just like, what do you like?
Sure. So I love dancing. Like I am big on like, I want to shake my ass and I want to like listen to good music. And thankfully I live in Bushwick, so it's super easy to do that. So like Mr. Sunday, like a 2 p.m. like hot, nice like DJ set, especially if it's like a hip hop DJ set, like, ugh, love that. So nowadays is great on a Sunday. Basically any day of the week, if you want to go dancing and listen to good music and like be around like good, like attractive people, Bossa Nova is great. So I love going to Bossa, and both of those places are super close to where I live, so it's super convenient. And in terms of like going out to eat, I go all over the place. I think I eat a lot around here. Some places that I like are like Winsun in East Williamsburg. Excellent breakfast.
The scallion pancake sandwiches. Oof,
yes.
Yes.
If you understand the scallion pancake. I love that. And I also just, you know, kind of try a lot of different foods. So I tend to lean on like Asian food I really like, but Latin American food is also like, you know, just a love of mine. And so Claro in like Brooklyn, if you like mezcal, if you like really good mole, I love going out there. And then there's this Persian spot. It's like my favorite restaurant in Brooklyn called Sofre.
Is it Sofre?
Yeah. Yeah, Sofre is so good. The Fesenjun pomegranate sauce that they have on the like confit chicken, amazing. Yeah, so those are some spots that I frequent. I go out in the city sometimes to eat, but I live in Brooklyn, so I stay here mostly.
Makes sense. Good taste. Thank you. That's high praise for me. I'm like somebody who's super picky about eating and going Word. Out. So. Yeah, but no, all you're actually the second person to say Winsun in this season.
Wow.
So, you know, there we go. People who are listening, you got to make your way out there. But going back to what we were talking about before, you were saying, you know, you need to know when to let go of people. And in that regard, like, have you ever ghosted anyone?
Oh man. Yes. I think, you know, God, I sound so old in my head about to say this, but I was like, when I was younger, as a 24-year-old, when I was younger, I think I, did ghost people who I just perhaps didn't have, like a clean or mature way to break it off. It just like felt like it was so new that it would be overkill to like be just kind of over explaining why I didn't like this person. Like there was no need to like crucify their personality or like be that honest, you know? So from my head now, I think just like a more general philosophy I have is just, you should make yourself and your thoughts and your intentions like very legible to people. And you should ask the same of others. Granted, I don't think you need to do that to like kill the vibe immediately when you meet someone. But I think, you know, second or third date, like it's important to like get a sense check, especially if you're like starting to get intimate with someone. I think that like that is terrain for a conversation. So yeah, I have ghosted people and I'm not proud of it. And I try not to do that now, but
I have done that a few times. Not funnily enough, but ironically enough, it's usually before trips. Like the last two people I ghosted because I went on vacation. And I was like, I simply cannot deal with this right now. So not great, but it is happening. I'm getting better though.
So when you like allude to being younger, like how much younger are we talking? Are we talking like 4 weeks younger? Are we talking like 4 years younger?
Yeah, I think like in college, like probably then. And then when I first moved to New York, it was a mixture of using dating apps to meet people. And just like, you know, when you move to a new city, especially one like New York, I feel like so much of that first year, we'll say, is just like finding your people. And like, that's kind of when I was like, I probably shouldn't mix people I'm trying to be friends with people who I'm interested in hooking up with. Mm. It's a especially awkward housewarming party when the people that you invited are all people you've slept with. And now they're all like, how do you know Sean? And it's like, oh, we met on.
That sounds like a very personal problem. Is that something that has happened?
Oh, yeah. No, not speaking from experience at all. That's never happened to me. That's just a thought that I had right now and not at all something that I experienced. Totally. Yeah, for sure.
Totally randomly.
Totally random. but yeah, I like that didn't happen to like a huge degree. Like there were two people I invited to my housewarming who like were like, oh, word. So we found out we both went on dates with you and now we're friends. And like, okay, that's like a small scale like bad, you know, case situation, I guess. But both of those people are chill and still close friends of mine. So it's all good. I think though that like advice that I give people is like moving to New York really is like, don't hook up with the people that you're friends with. Like I think it's just so, it's so crucial. I think
that's like good advice across the board.
For sure. But I think especially here, because I think it's so easy for that to happen, especially when you're trying to find your people.
Well, when did you move to New York?
So I think oh my God, I'm fronting like I don't know the exact date. I moved here July 4th, 2019. I remember because I was taking off and the fireworks were going off. And I was like, this is so, why is this so dramatic? You know, like in LA, I'm like,
it's cinematic.
Right. I was like, oh my God, real main character shit. I was like, my life is so like cool. I'm like flying out of LA and there's fireworks and I'm like, I have no job and no plan and no money and no friends and a new city. It was like very like cringe. but yeah, I moved here in 2019 in the summer and then mobbed very hard on the internet and in the streets to try to just like find my people and my job and my apartment. And yeah, I'm glad it all worked out. But the first like 7 months was just like baptism by fire, like truly some of the hardest months on like all fronts. But I love New York now. It's like got a weird Stockholm syndrome about it.
And you said that you own your apartment. So what made you like go all in and buy a place in New York where you were just finding your footing?
Yeah, that was an oversimplification. So the more straightforward answer is I don't pay rent here because of like a just like a crazy landlord that I have who we were able to like litigate against him and we won that case. So that's a long story. Like that whole situation could be its own episode, but like
I like really want the abridged.
The abridged version is we found ourselves in an apartment, me and my roommate, that was rent stabilized when it was purchased in 2014, but then was illegally destabilized upon purchase. And when we all became aware of that 7 years after purchase, there was only one of the original tenants here from pre-purchase. And she told us like, hey, I think you're all getting screwed. And so we like kind of collectively organized and then like did our research and realized we were all being overcharged by like $1,500. So we were like, hey, I want our money back. Also a legal lease. And our landlord was like, fuck you guys. No. And like refused to do a bunch of repairs. And so we collectively just like organized and got a lawyer involved. And then it was very clear and obvious that there was like foul play and bad faith. acting. So, we are, you know, I guess rent striking is the word to use, while the like lawyers are figuring out how to get us like stabilized leases.
New York,
a bridge version, but New York.
Oh my God.
And I still love it here.
And you still love it here. That is a testament. That truly is. So you're living, you're rent striking currently. You've learned now not to hook up with your friends.
Yep.
You're like an internet guru. That's how you like found your job and your house and your community of people here. You're a Twitter god. Is that?
I don't know about that. I think you're giving me far too much credit. I think that like I've learned how to use Twitter that serves like my interest and my joy and like the lifestyle that I want to have, and like it's working well. So I'm continuing to do that.
Yet you're not somebody who likes internet dating.
Not you coming for me.
It's my job.
It's not even that I don't like internet dating. I think that like I like really, really just like put a premium on like dating generally. And I don't want to like waste my time when it comes to dating, because I know exactly what I want. And I think,
what do you want?
I want to be off these streets. I want a relationship for sure. And I want to be with someone who, you know, actively chooses to be with me. And like, I choose to actively be with them. And I think that a huge part of that is just like being able to like communicate really, really well. And I think that like, there's this book that I read, called, On Love, by Alain de Botton. And it was basically a story of this person, who is a philosopher, of love. And he met this woman randomly on a plane who he like really immediately connected with and felt like this person like really saw him, and he didn't have to explain like first principles and fundamental beliefs of himself. But of course, what sort of unfolded was like, this person is human. This person is not someone to be like glorified, but like someone to be understood and to, you know, ask, of them for you, to be understood. And so, it was just circumstance that this person happened to really, really understand and relate to him from the start. But, if you think that, if you see this person really like understands and sees me, it doesn't ever give you a reason to make yourself known to this person, because you're like, oh, they get me. And I think that like the reason I bring this up is I tended to, I think, romanticize those relationships where I didn't have to explain parts of myself to people. And now I think I actually enjoy when we don't immediately see eye to eye, but like there's some connection there that I think is, you know, either one of interest, one of intellect, one of something else, whatever. But there's a process from the start of like really like choosing to again ask questions, to understand how they're thinking, what they think about, what they believe, and then you know, that reciprocated. And so I think that like I am looking to not be in these like situationships, and what I'm looking for is like someone who is like creative and willing to, you know, communicate and say yes to the universe with me, and just like be optimistic about life and like see the value of their life and what they, you know, have as gifts that they, you know, really need to like share with the world. I think that's like a very idealistic, like kumbaya relationship, right? Like, yeah, who doesn't want that? But that's what I want.
You said that you don't really want to be in situationships anymore. Do you feel like you've fallen into that like often? When was the last time you've had an actual relationship?
I had the last like relationship I had was a situationship that converted into a relationship, which really shouldn't have. And I think the last like real relationship I had was maybe like a year and a half ago. Actually, no, it was 2 years ago when I was living in Spain. I studied abroad and met this girl that I fell in love with, and she helped me basically make the decision to drop out of medical school and move to New York. So she's a big reason of why I'm here. And yeah, that was the last time I was in love and last like real relationship. I think since then I've just been in situationships.
Why don't you think it worked with her?
She lived in Spain. She also didn't speak English. I speak English and Spanish fluently. So it was fine, but she lived in Spain, was not able to move to the US, and I wasn't willing to move to Spain. So the compromise was I'll come to New York. It will be closer for us. And then if I get a job in tech, I can get some money and I can, come visit you often or bring you over, more often. And granted that didn't work out, but she's still like a good friend. And yeah, I just saw her in Spain like a week ago. So that was cool to catch up and just like see where we're at in our lives.
Had you not seen her since you left, like how many years
ago? I hadn't seen her for 2 years. I was only there for 3 days and it was like the most heart-wrenching, but like very good 3 days that I've had in a while. It was very, very romantic. But also I think this can also be true. It made me aware that like being in that relationship or staying in that relationship would have hindered my growth because I feel like a completely different person than I do 2 years ago. Mm. And my life is completely different and the circumstances are changed quite a bit. And so while that person I loved very much back then and like wanted to spend forever like with them, right? I recognized that like now was not a time that I could see myself with that person. And like, it's best to sort of like kind of remember that as like a time and a place, but not like the time and the place forever.
Did you romantically reconnect when you were back in Spain?
Like for sure. Like there was definitely like simp vibes in the air from everyone. We were both just like really like down bad for each other for like 3 days. And it was cool. Like, you know, she took me around Madrid and showed me just what she's been up to and the places she visits and like, you know, moments that I think we were supposed to share, but like didn't for a number of reasons. So it felt like a condensed like relationship timeline and it was cool.
I'm like, I'm actually emotional right now. Like I can't, I fell in love 2 years ago when I was,
man, who are you? Are
you? I'm you. I'm like, everything you're saying is resonating because I was like, very similar, yeah. Very similar experience. Except I haven't physically seen him since we broke up, but you know, we're on good terms. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Like, yeah, I get that. And I've been in the same situation. That was like the last time I was really maybe in love. And then, you know, been in situationships since then. So it's
good. Yeah. Purgatory like, sucks, man. I miss paradise. I know.
Truly, and you just got a taste of it again. Right. So that's what sucks. That's like the worst part.
But like injected straight into my veins. Like I'm such a just like a sucker for that shit. And like I think that the separation between like a romantic and platonic love is really not that, it's not that much. And so like it was interesting to just like feel the same degree of intensity of love for this person, but just like a different flavoring of that now. And to sort of like tap back into that, I was just like, I haven't felt this much like love and like resonance with like another human being in ways that feel very comfortable. Like I feel like I so seldom feel like fully comfortable with someone, but like this person just made me feel so comfortable as a friend. And then 2 years ago as a lover, but just like more of that, you know, like like big proponent of don't fuck your friends, but like kiss your friends, like give them a kiss on the cheek, like, you know, hug them, like be intimate with your friends. I think that that's one of the things that I really
two very different.
I mean, not no though. Like I think that like I don't know. I maybe it's because I'm like Latino. I just feel like I miss like the culture of like I don't know, my mom like giving me kisses on the forehead and my like tías and tíos like, you know, really like giving me like hugs and holding me really tightly. And like, I don't know, I like even my friends that I played soccer with growing up, like smack you on the butt and like kiss you on the cheek. And like, it's cute and like, it's cool. And like, you feel so much like tangible love from that. And I think that like, I don't know, I'm not saying like go smack your friends on the butt. Like, that's not what I'm getting at. But what I guess what I'm saying more directly is like, intimacy that's not necessarily like, you know, creepy, right? Like consensual intimacy with your friends is like really cool. And I think that, like I have another, like one of my closest friends here is this Dominican dude who like, you know, insists on just like, you know, giving his friends big hugs, you know, kisses on the cheek, like a little, you know, le bis, like once on the cheek, the other on the other cheek. And it's cute. And I fuck with that. And I don't know, more love and energy like that in my life. It's kind of what I'm going for.
It does kind of sound like you are missing the comfort in a relationship, though. Like, maybe, you know, not to read you for film.
For sure, but. For sure. Yeah, I mean, that said, I'm like, I'm patient. I'm not willing to like, just hop into a relationship with anyone.
Yeah. Do you think you hold back, though?
Oof.
Like, what's stopping you from being in a relationship from these situations?
Man, again, reading me for filth. I don't know that I hold back per se. I think that like two points. I think that there is inherent value in just like colliding with another human. And like, even if we don't vibe, like I will find a way to make this conversation like excellent for both of us so that you feel really happy about, you know, meeting me, and I feel really happy about meeting you for this night. That's one thing. There's inherent value in that. That said, I think seldom when I go out with people and like meet them, do I really, really connect with them and like see like a specialness to them. I think both things can be true. Everyone is valuable, but also the people that I want to spend a lot of my time with are very, very few and very, very far between. So yeah, it's complicated. I think that like, I just don't find a lot of people that I'm like very, very like interested in that way. I'm picky. I don't know.
You're picky. You say that you want like certain things. You've talked a lot about like intellectually and, you know, interest wise things that you're like, what about physically? Like, not to say that's not a factor in all of it, right? But, and you're just talking about intimacy, like, physicality. And I think it's interesting because people ask me all the time, it's like, oh, your podcast, it's audio based, like you don't get to see what the person looks like. Sure. Right, so we're removing that level of getting to know somebody off the bat, and that it's sort of an out-of-body experience because somebody's going to listen to you talk and they're going to have absolutely no idea what you look like, right? And they could still be interested. Yeah. In you, like they really might be. But I still think that despite all of that, this isn't a perfect system. And I think physical attraction, sexuality, like sexual chemistry, like all of that is really important. So when you are in looking for a situationship, relationship, you're in that, like you have focused a lot about, you know, things that aren't physical, mm-hmm. which is great, but I'm sure it matters.
Yeah,
to
it
you.
Definitely matters to me. I think you know, it's crazy. The first thing that came to mind, and like, you can see what I look like, so this is telling, I guess, but I'm like, I love girls with curly hair. I love that so much. It's so cute. I like adore that whenever I see that on someone. And I guess like the way that I would describe my type is, or rather like, it is a collection of like things that I look for. I really like long hair. I really like, I don't know. I really like hair. I really like curly hair. I really like long hair. And I like people who like care about like dressing well and like going out and like really like not even pretending like they care, but just like actually caring. I like love people who like are like very intentional about the way that they look. And like really clearly like design a way that they want to be perceived and like express the communities that they belong to. I really like people who are tall. I'm like 5'9". I'm not that tall, but I like tall girls. So if you're 5'9", and I guess above or below, I don't really care. Tall girls are cute. Not to say short girls aren't, but I have a preference for tall girls. But yeah, I guess it matters insofar as like, I want to date people who I think are beautiful, but I don't really have like a, like if you looked at all my exes and situationships, none of them look alike at all. Like they all look like, you know, a hodgepodge of random people. But I think it always makes sense. And it's funny, like when my friends try to explain my type, they're just like, I don't know, he likes like curly headed like art girls. And I'm like, not no, like not yes either, but not no.
Yeah, you're not closed off, for sure. But you might have a preference
here and there. For sure.
Yeah, sure. Everyone does, right? So there was something else I wanted to bring up, which was you find connection in different ways, right? Whether it be Twitter or through your friends of friends. You're not really a fan of online dating. But I saw that you were in an article.
Yeah.
What was that
about? what was that about? I am good friends with a girl who runs runs a dating, I don't even know what to call it, like group called Shots on Club, NYU girls, roasting tech guys. And so shout out to Devin Lutan. She's excellent. But she was featured by another one of my friends who's a writer, and they had a basically night out on the town where my friend Brock interviewed her and followed them around. And then at the end of that, night, Devin was asked, who's like an eligible single in New York that like you should like go on a date with? And she told my friend Brock my name, and Brock didn't know that I knew Devin. So Brock reached out and was like, hey, this like person I interviewed was like, you're a single that she knows, like, what the fuck? Like the world is so small. And they asked me the question, what makes a good kisser? And honestly, I have an answer for that. I don't know if I should share it here. God, I like wrote it so intentionally, but basically I think what I wanted to get at was like dancing is sort of similar to kissing, where like good dancers like know when to lead and when to follow. And so just when you're kissing someone, don't kiss the way that you want to kiss. Kiss the way that like feels right for this person. And you can, you know, it's very rhythmic. And I think that like when you're like very aware of like, you know, another person and what they need, that's a great kiss.
It's like the most Latin thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I somehow managed to bridge dancing and kissing, both extremely Latin things.
Okay. At the end of every episode, I ask this or that questions. We call them mm-hmm. shots.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I am ready.
Yeah. Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Work hard or play hard?
Work hard.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Oof, dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Oof, Pepsi.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy, always.
What's your favorite season?
Oof, gotta be summer.
Coffee or drinks date?
Coffee.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
10? Fuck it.
What is your drink of choice?
Oof, I love a gin and tonic.
What is your favorite song at the moment?
Oof, my favorite song at the moment is Off the Grid by Kanye West from Donda.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Alice.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thank you so much to our guest for talking with me today. If you're interested in matching with them, visit the link in bio on Instagram @drinks.first. Or if you don't have an Instagram, email us drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials for the latest updates, guest information, events, and other fun content. If you like this episode, please remember to rate, share, review on your podcast app. That helps us grow the most. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on Instagram @ariana.nathani and on TikTok @ariana.nathani. Be sure to check back next Tuesday for a new episode.